Now we come to the second reading, which on this Sunday is 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 13. And it's all about being faithful to the Lord and trusting Him. A word about these pastoral letters. We call them pastoral letters. The researchers, the fellows who work on this particular literary genre, you know, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus at least, are they by Paul? Well, they're not like other letters by Paul. It's a university level Greek. The others are very colloquial. Not that Paul couldn't write, you know, he's a genius, but he's colloquial. It's like a preaching level to, you know, these are not. So what's the reason? Well, everything has been proposed, you know. These are 3rd, 4th century documents written by, you know, Paul is long dead, and, you know, that's quite unlikely because, you know, they're canonical. And they were in the earliest canons, much earlier than that. Much earlier than the 2nd century, really. So what is it? Well, it could be a lot of different things. But I'm going to give you my opinion, for which I cannot claim infallibility, but it makes sense to me. I don't know what else to say. The language is like university language. You know, it's beautiful. It's not with a lot of intricate words, but it's just another level, different kind of Greek than Paul writes in the other letters that he's dictating. Now, see, now he's an old man. He's not, if you say it's Paul, now a lot of people, it's not Paul, it's somebody else who's using his name. Pseudonymity, or what they call it now, allonymity, which means other name, is not terrible. It was done a lot in antiquity. But I have another idea that I propose, not ex cathedra, just I think what Paul did was transmit to a very devout and intelligent disciple, this is what I want said. And he entrusted the wording of it to him, who was a university man. So the wording is university level. But it's Paul. It's this faithful disciple transmitting what Paul wanted said. Probably it wasn't, therefore, probably, if I'm right, it wasn't Paul dictating like he did all the others. He was just saying, say this and put that in there and do that, you know. And then the fellow wrote it, brought it back to Paul, who looked it all over and said, yeah, and wrote, you know, Pavlos on it and sent it off. And there are people who think more or less that, but opinions are multiple. But it's Pauline, in its insights, and is canonical and inspired and beautiful. So, now this is the second letter to Timothy. I think I already told you this is Timothy 2, Timothy 2, 8 to 13. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to remember? You see, it means to have the reality so present to you that you're different. That's why so often in the Old Testament, God says to Israel, Shakachta, you forgot. It didn't slip their mind, but it has no influence on the way they're living. Remember means let this reality be one that's affecting the way you think, feel, live. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Remember that. Let our Lord risen from the dead and glorious, let him dwell in you. Let him impress his reality on your spirit. You see? And he is, you see, of the seed of David. That's my gospel. That's the Evangelion. Now the word gospel Evangelion just means good news. It's, you know, it's used like if the army wins, it's Evangelion, you see. My wife just had a baby boy, Evangelion. But to Evangelion, the good news, the basa, you see, basara, is that Jesus Christ is the living, eternal Son of God, God of God, light from light, true God of true God. And he came among us. He taught us. He explained everything to us. And then in an act of love, he suffered degrading, cruel torture, finally crucified and died and rose for love of us. Now that he's risen from the dead after passing through that, his humanity is the living source of divine life. That's the meaning of the Eucharist. But all divine life comes through the humanity of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead after having suffered. Huh? And that's what he's saying here. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Yos David, I forgot to look. No, from the seed of David, the text. That means he's the promised one. Wasn't the promised one supposed to be the seed of David? Well, he is, you see. And that is what I'm preaching. Okay. And it's for that I'm suffering, being badly treated, and even to the point of chains, like a criminal. What have I done that I should be chained and being led off to be judged in Rome? What have I done? Sedition? Revolution? Murder? No. I've told you what God has done for you in his love for you to set you free in this world and the next from darkness. That's what I'm telling you. All you have to do is accept this message and be baptized, and you will be free of the weight of your sins, and you will have new life in you, which is eternal. That's all, you know. But for that, I'm suffering like a criminal. But the Word of God is not chained, you see. The Logos, Tutayu, it's not bound, chained. Because of that, even though I'm a prisoner and I got these shackles and I got these guys guarding me, you see, therefore I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus together with eternal glory. Now do you see the power, the necessity of preaching, of evangelizing, of going out and telling people? Because if they hear the news and yield to it, they have an eternal future. That's why we preach and get out on the streets and preach. We have to. We know this. Everybody should know this. Of course, right now the opposition, you see, and is darkness. Don't say a word, you know. Say a word. Say a word of salvation. You see? But the Word of God is not chained. Therefore, which is verse 10, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen. I am reaching those whom God wants to touch. I'll be put up with anything for that. With love. I want to bring people to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and live with him forever. I don't care if they beat me or put me in chains or tell everybody I'm a criminal. I don't care. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. And I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified and alive now. You see? So that's Paul. So that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus together with eternal glory. if you go on the street there, you're riding on the bus, or you're walking on the street, and somebody starts to give their life to Christ, if they hang on to that, develop it, they are going to live eternally with God. And when they meet you in heaven, what do you think they're going to say? This is the one who saved my eternity. That's why we preach. That's why, you see, every day you pray in the morning, Lord, put me in touch with somebody and give me the brains to know how to approach them. I'm awkward, I'm embarrassed, I don't know how to do this. Help me. And he will. You know? I remember, oh, no, it's too long to tell that story. I better go on. I've only got little time left. You see? This saying, this word is sound. That if we suffer with him, we will live with him. I'm looking for where I'm reading it in Greek. I want to see if we died with him. We shall live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we're in union with him, we're him. We're he. And when he sees us, he sees himself. And he can't be unfaithful to himself. You see, I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. And the more I yield to that reality, the more other people will see Christ. And that's the whole goal. You see, and this year of faith is to bring as many people as possible into a living, strong, life-transforming knowledge of Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, who died for our sins, rose from the dead, and gives it all away to us. And that's the meaning of life. And so, so even if we're unfaithful, see, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Once we're baptized, once we profess his name, he's faithful to us. We can wander away and sin a lot, but if we come back, he takes us back. Why? Because we are an extension of himself. And because he loves us. He wants us to be with him forever in heaven. So he'll forgive us. And that's this text from 2 Timothy, you see, is all about that sort of thing. If we died with him, died to sin, died to that old way of life, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he'll deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. He'll always take us back. Always take us back. And that's very important to know. And so, you can see how this theme of preaching and getting to know and so forth, you see, and it's a healing. Because sozin means to heal, the word for salvation. All right? That's it.